So today I'm going to present StreamScope, which is a system designed for reliable stream processing at a large scale. So stream processing becomes increasingly important in recent years as it enables businesses to analyze and act on streaming events in real time. So as an example, during the event of single day shopping festival that Alibaba held last year, a screen is broadcasted to millions of people showing in real time the transactions, including the statistics like the total payment and also showing the individual transactions from each the buyer to from the seller to the buyers. It's on a 3D globe. It's pretty cool. So behind the scene is there's a streaming system that processes the event in real time that achieves end-to-end latency within 3 seconds. So in this case, we're talking about the scale, talking about the event rate that's about 50 million events per second. So this is really, really a huge scale. Another more complex example of stream processing is the fraud detection pipeline for online advertising running on StreamScope at Microsoft. So here, the job is to detect whether a click is from a real human being or is done by a bot. So the job is of high complexity, and it runs at a massive scale. So for example, the logic is distributed across more than 3,000 computation units and scheduled across the cluster, a shared cluster of 20,000 nodes also. And so at this scale, the system also needs to handle failures, including both those planned failure for example, for the system maintenance purposes, and also for the unplanned outage automatically. So actually, this figure shows that we observed 35 failures within a day. So in order to address those kind of challenges, StreamScope models stream computation using a dataflow graph like this. So in the dataflow graph, the vertices, each vertex represents stream computation, and the channels, the edges are the channels along which the events flow. This is actually quite a common model used for data parallel computing. It was initially proposed by a system called DRIDE. In this model, the input data or streams are partitioned across different vertices, which are the computation unit that can be scheduled to different nodes to achieve the scale. And to achieve low latency, in this case, the events are pipelined through different stages. So one assumption we've made is the whole execution is deterministic, which will significantly simplify the reasoning about the programming and the correctness. So one fundamental difference or challenge here, compared to the batch processing system is that in this case, if there's a failure occur, it is very likely to impact the downstreams as it will introduce, for example, missing or duplicate events. And the recovery of that vertex may well depend on some replay of events from upstream as well, and in which case, if it's missing, then a cascading failure is triggered. Also, you need to rebuild the state before you can continue processing correctly. So there are a lot of complexity caused by those kind of dependencies in the system. So StreamScope introduced two new abstractions to manage such kind of dependencies or complexities through decoupling. The first abstraction StreamScope introduced called RStream, which provides, so each RStream represents a channel in the data flow graph. The RStream provides the illusion of a reliable channel. And so so the goal is to actually use the RStream to decouple the upstream from downstream. So let me explain more. Here shows an RStream. We assume the events are labeled, and so RStream supports multiple readers and writers. So we assume that all those readers are writers. They always operate continuously, that they work on a segment of events. We require any implementation of RStream to satisfy the following properties. The first one is we require there's a unique value associated with each sequence number, so that if you have multiple writers, if they write multiple duplicate values with the same sequence number, then the duplicate is discarded automatically by the RStream implementation. The second requirement is for validity, that a read succeeds only when there is a successful write for the same sequence number before that read. The third property says, if a write succeeds for a particular sequence number, then the following reads that reach the same sequence number will eventually succeed. This means that the R string will remember also all the writes such to provide an illusion of a reliable channel. So with the abstraction, because the R string decouples upstream and downstream, now we can reason about fault tolerance by only looking at the execution of a single vertex. Here shows an example of a single vertex, X with some future input and some previous output, and inside it maintains a state T1 as the computation state. Now we further introduce a notion called snapshot, which tries to capture the entire status of the execution at a particular moment. In each snapshot, it includes information of the progress of the vertex, including the sequence number of the last input and the sequence number of the last output, as well as the state. Now, with the notion, the second abstraction streams to introduce is called R vertex, which tracks the execution of a vertex by a series of snapshots along the timeline. So let me show two examples. So for example, now after the vertex consume an additional input labeled number 3 and produce additional output, and with the state change to T2, and this shows a second snapshot, S2 after S1. And you can have more snapshots. Now, one capability our vertex provides is it allows any vertex execution to revert or go back or restart from any of the snapshots previously taken. So now with RStream and our vertex combined, those two abstractions now make the reasoning about fault tolerance really, really simple. So with those abstractions, handling failure in string scope is like this. So if a vertex fails at a certain point, what we need to do is just to revert, go back to the latest snapshot ever taken by this vertex. And that's done. So although the abstraction of property looks simple, but the power of the abstractions really comes from the separation of the system property from the actual implementation, which allows a flexible implementation and powerful optimization. So I want to highlight two of them. One is the optimization we do is the implementation of the R string abstraction. So a naive implementation of the R string to provide a reliable illusion is basically do the reliability. So you can write events persistently to a reliable store. However, such kind of synchronous writes introduce significant overheads. So instead, what StringScope does is to use a hybrid scheme that moves such kind of writes out of the critical path of execution. So here shows the RStream implementation inside StringScope. So we basically divide divide the stream logically into three different parts. For the first part, that is the volatile part, which keeps the newly written events in memory. You just buffer those events in memory, and at the same time, you can send them downstream for the downstream vertex to compute. If a downstream vertex fail, and then usually the producer and consumer are in different nodes, so they can still replay the events from the memory. And at the same time, we flush the in-memory buffer to a reliable store asynchronously. So, and we do this in batches to improve the throughput. This is to survive the server failure of the producer machine. So in this case, if the event is persistent, then if the server machine fails, you can still get the events back. Now, in case before you persist the event, if there's a failure and you lost the event, then you can, now this is part of the internal implementation, the responsibility of the R string implementation to call, to invoke the R vertex, the producing vertex abstraction to regenerate that event. Okay, there's a third part because we track the snapshots during execution. So together with the snapshots, essentially we also track the dependencies. So with the dependency information, we can figure out, you know, which part of the events that will never be requested, no matter what happened. So for those part, we just garbage collected them. A second optimization or the benefits of the, you know, the abstraction, you know, of the separation of property from implementation is that we allow making it very easy to develop different for failure recovery strategies. So actually, streaming is a hot topic recently. There are a lot of related work that we found out that many of the related work actually what they do is provide a different implementation of RStream and RVertex. And by the way, those different strategies are actually very important in different scenarios. But StreamScope, because of the abstraction and separation, support a hybrid use of different failure recovery strategies, even within a single job. And further, I think the benefit of the abstraction go beyond fault tolerance, but in supporting the whole life cycle of for streaming application. So now in the following few slides, I'll highlight some of them from the production experience, including the development, debugging, and deployment of streaming applications. So first, because the abstraction is really a natural extension to what a batch system does. So how we implement StreamScope is we greatly leverage the existing the batch processing systems. And then by leveraging them, we actually have an integrated language, and you reuse the optimizer for the query, and you do the scheduling, and all those things we can leverage existing systems. This helps us gain a lot of, you know, we can reuse basically all the existing systems that provide the great product, you know, developer productivity. But even though, you know, programming a streaming application is still very challenging because of the complex semantics of streaming and it's very difficult to debug. So a second thing we do is we provide the offline mode, which, you know, we just changed the implementation of the two abstractions to allow user to start, develop a stream application using, you know, to validate and test the code against some finite input and using minimal resources, even on a single node. And later you can switch to run this in a distributed fashion online live. And this whole process is completely transparent to users. This greatly improves developer productivity in life cycle of application. By the way, you can even use this kind of offline mode against online running jobs. So we even allow users to debug and profile a vertex without impacting a running job. So you can do this against a running job as well. Further, we use leveraged abstraction to do several things in the deployment and operation of a stream application, which is also, you know, addressed a lot of pain in the real production. So because of time, I'll just highlight a few of them. The first one I want to mention is we got a real requirement from users says, even you are doing streaming, I want real-time output. However, sometimes I want to understand a segment of past output, how does it come? How does it compute it? I want to re-examine the segment of execution in the past. So for this, we managed a global, you know, repository of the R streams and indexed by the snapshots to allow user to travel back in time. A second thing I want to highlight is in a production environment, you usually need to do server migration, you need to maintain this, and for those, sometimes you need to shut down the processes. So with the abstraction, it's very easy for us to execute a duplicate copy of the same vertex or of the part of the data flow that are going to be affected. And then, you know, after the server upgraded or maintenance is finished, you just move them back. Okay, so before I conclude, I want to also show some production traces we have. Now in this figure, you show three parts. So the bottom part shows the number of, you know, server maintenance or OS upgrade during a 7-week period. And the middle part shows the outage, which is unplanned failure. And on the top is the end-to-end latency of the system. So in this particular job, the latency is measured using the logical timestamp, which includes all kinds of, you know, logical time windows. So I want to make 2 points. First, during the 7 week, the system runs smoothly, robustly, it didn't down. And the second point is I want to highlight this specific phase where we have a lot of planned maintenance, or, you know, some even involve a lot of server reboots actually. And you can see the latency does not affect much because we do the duplicate execution. We're using leveraged abstraction to to you know, make it, mitigate the impact. Okay, finally, I want to conclude on cloud scale stream computation is challenging due to complexity of the dependencies, and as StreamScope introduced new abstractions, two new abstractions are Vertex and RStream to manage the complexities through decoupling. We believe the abstractions separate the system property from actual implementation, and this bring us great power to enable optimizations, to develop different failure recovery strategies, and to better support the whole entire, all the stages in life cycle of streaming application in production. That's all. Thank you.
So, Günser at Cornell University. I enjoyed the talk. I listened to it with sort of an eye towards, like, how is this different from what happens in a typical chain replicated system? How is it different from what we do in Hyperdex, for example? Could you go into a bit more detail and describe how it actually really does differ from past work, specifically chain replication?
Chain replication, okay. So I think now as I mentioned, so usually a stream program is modeled using a data flow graph, and those graphs can be really huge. You know, it can contain thousands, even millions of vertices because we run this in a huge cluster. So we are usually not afforded to use the replication. We only apply replication in a tiny portion of the entire data flow graph. So you can use chain replication or other kind of replication technique to implement our Vertex abstraction. But this we usually only use this as a part of the data flow. We're not afforded, because of the resource, not afforded to use this, apply this to the entire data flow.
Okay, I see the difference. But the decoupling part is actually very similar at some level. But
okay.
Let's take it offline.
Okay.
Hi. So continuing the line of questioning of how is this different from X, I was wondering, how is the RStream abstraction different from what Spark Streaming uses, you know, okay. DStreams? In one particular interpretation could be that DStreams has this notion of batching, and there's batch sizes. Is it fair to say that DStreams with a very small batch size is similar to our stream?
I think this is a good question. So, I think Spark Streaming, they propose a very neat idea to reuse a batch system for streaming. And I think the idea is also to decouple. Basically, you want to control the dependency only within each batches. So basically, for the input stream, they chunk the input stream into different chunks, into different batches. And then for each batch, they do a batch processing. Now, before Spark Stream, so basically in production in our batch system, when we don't have streaming system yet, there are a lot of recurring jobs that they simulate. So people basically, if the input data is being increased every day, and then people do recurring, they do the job repeatedly to process the input data incrementally. But one interesting problem they find is if they want to achieve a very low latency, they want to reduce the granularity, they want to reduce the size of those batches in order to achieve a low latency. So I think in a mini batch approach, the batch size dictates latency, right? But on the other hand, what you really want to reuse, what you really reuse the batch system is for fault tolerance. And for fault tolerance, you probably don't need to do the fault tolerance at that granularity sometimes. So for fault tolerance, the optimal granularity, say, maybe you want to do for 10 batches to do a fault tolerance. So I think that approach is nice, but it seems it actually unnecessarily couples latency with fault tolerance. So I think in our case, we're actually try best as much as possible to separate things, to separate fault tolerance, for example, from the performance aspect of the system. I think that's the main difference in my
That's cool, thanks. But I was wondering, do you have any quantitative comparison of R streams with D streams?
I'm sorry, I don't have, because usually we actually do all the experiments in a production environment where it's very difficult for us to deploy other systems here. So, but that's a good, yeah, we don't have, sorry.